Amen. Amen.
Welcome back.
Yeah. Now, a couple of things, all right? First, welcome, but the announcements are going to come at the end of the service, okay? The second thing is, okay, we have a joyful proclamation this morning, all right? Left side. Left side. Right side. Okay? Now, notice it is a joyful proclamation. What do you usually do when you're joyful? Do you get loud? Okay, that's it. Now, the hymn, all right? The first hymn is A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, okay? I'm going to do a real brief commercial, I promise. Okay, Kim? All right? You know how this got written. Martin Luther... okay, was getting chased by people that wanted him dead. And so a local noble in Germany hid him in a room on a castle wall. Amongst other things, Luther was working on his translation of Paul's letter to the Romans. As he was working on his translation, the devil showed up in the room. Okay. Luther picked up the inkwell on his desk and threw it at the devil. Hit the wall. The ink stains are still there. There's pictures on the internet. Out of that experience came the words of this hymn. Kim, go for it.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I had a longer list of things to read to you, but the only thing I need to read now is that we request that you use the prayer request cards and drop them off at the church or on Sunday or whatever. So.
Give them to me and I can take them up to the
pastor. That's true.
Don't argue with Phyllis.
No.
Nope. Please stand and join me in the call to worship. To all
who are lonely and need a friend, to all who are weak and need strength, to all who are adrift and need a purpose, to all who are sad and need a taste of joy, to all who have received richly and need to give thanks, this church opens wide its doors and bids you welcome in the name of Jesus, who is the Christ.
Amen. Let us join together in A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, hymn 110.
Our help, worthy of it, the flood.
remain standing and greet each other with a handshake, a hug, any nice way to do it.
Thanks. You know, you find out who's important, you know. You notice how many people came up into the chancel because a certain person's back? Martha? We missed you, and we're immensely grateful that you're back because the CD accompaniment doesn't give us time to breathe when we sing. You do. Now, I'm going to start with a joy, okay? It starts out like this. Rejoice. Luann has renewed Rick's contract for another year. They're celebrating their 29th anniversary. Oh, that. Kim?
I'm single. I can say those things.
No. Kim? That's the contract. Right, Rod? That's the contract. Want to remember Martha as she continues to recover? As I said to her, Martha, you got hit by a truck. The only thing was you were unconscious when it hit you. And so it's hard to adjust to the change. Anne Wright, Diane, your sister? Okay, I want to make sure I got it right. Had two heart caths this week, okay, and now has 7 stents. So prayers for healing, and thanks for the prayers, okay, that have already gone out. Much appreciated. We have a number of people who have those that they love who are going through some very difficult times right now. Let's keep them in our prayers. Some of us are going through some very difficult times right now. Let's keep each other in our prayers. Okay. I know that those of you that are going through medical tests, you love them at least as much as I do, which means not at all. Okay. Please know you're in our prayers and prayers that things will work out for the best. amongst the things that you see this morning are things we're going to talk about later, going to talk with the children about them, okay? But see these bags on the altar? I have to be careful because I was using part of the bulletin for my bookmark. Okay. Blessing bags. You have the list in your bulletin. Okay. Our community has invisible people. They are people that don't have the basics. They don't have toothbrushes. They don't have socks. They don't have a bar of soap. They don't have a comb. Okay, you go through this list, all right, and it's nothing elaborate. It's fundamental stuff. Okay, I'm going to do an aside. Susie and I visited a United Methodist Church in Palm Springs. Their ministry to the homeless people in Palm Springs is they have outdoor access to a men's and a women's toilet room. The toilet room also has a shower. They know they'll get in trouble with the local town council if they let people build a tent city there. You can pitch your tent for one night. Otherwise invisible people. In California, they're more visible than here, but we have them here. One of the things that I haven't heard, because I don't have the kinds of connections that I have in school districts further east, is I don't know how many families are sleeping in their cars this school year. But you can bet there's between 1 and 4. You want to know, get some idea of how bad things can get for some people? Phyllis will help you develop some insight. Amen, Phyllis?
Well, in some ways, yes. Uh-huh. I help a lot of people.
Okay. Okay. Let's pray. Blessed Jesus, when you came into this world, you didn't start at the top. You started way towards the bottom. You didn't go to a king's palace. You didn't go to a high priest's fancy home. You went to a carpenter's house in Nazareth. Somebody that made their living with the sweat of their brow. Somebody who made hard decisions about what they could afford. When you started your ministry, you stepped away from a place that had a roof instead of sleeping on a bed. You slept in a field, and we forget that. The things that we focus on are the things that are really rather dramatic in contrast. We focus on those times when either you touched people or people touched you and they were healed. Those moments when you touched people and they rose from the dead. Those moments when people listened to you and their lives were changed beyond all reasonable explanation for change. Changed for good. And oh Lord, you came with the message of how much God loves us. A message of how much God thinks of us, so that even the hair on our head is counted. Oh Lord, continue your work, not only among us, but through us. Help us to be your body, doing the work of your kingdom in this world. It is that kingdom for which we pray every time we join our voices together in the words you taught us to say. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us take a moment to listen to God in silence, for God will speak in turn during prayer. Amen. Now, can you sit down and be joyful? Okay, stand up then. Kim and that side go first.
God is real. I can feel the divine presence and know that God is here. When I feel lonely and discouraged, I am sure that I am not really alone. God is close enough to me. So awesome. Heavenly love embracing me. God wants me to share that love with others.
Okay, now right side. Look that way. Together now. God is awesome love. God sent Jesus just for me. I need no other proof of divine compassion. God's love for me is patient and unrelenting. Jesus came to teach me that, and he calls me to be his disciple.
We can beat that. God reaches out to me even today. The Holy Spirit surrounds and fills my life. The Spirit touches me to the depths that I am to, and turns me toward the kingdom. The path may not be expected, but even when I am blind, or blank wall, the way it opens up for me. God is truly all I need for a full and creative life.
And what does the right side say?
I belong to God. We are all God's because God has made us. God's own image is imprinted on us and in us. Our love for each other will last forever. The best acknowledgement that I can make of God is to give my total energy to the work of the kingdom. I will put away all things that separate me from God or that get in the way of God's work. I need God. I joy in God now and forever.
Amen.
Please remain standing as we sing the Gloria.
Sung, you may be seated unless you're in the choir.
We have a special treat.
Yes.
Gordy is going to accompany the choir on his guitar today.
All right.
Where the years and breath
Amen. Would the children come, please? This two things before we get started. Did everybody get a copy of the prayer for you?
Noah.
Yes, you did. I know you did because I gave one to your dad. Did everybody get a tag for their backpack?
I did.
Okay.
Me, no.
Yeah, okay. You, yes, because I gave your dad one too. Now, I want to talk to you about something, okay? You ever have to do without something?
No.
No? That's good. That's very good. You know, it's not easy. Whoa. I hope I didn't wreck things, Rick.
No.
Okay. It's hard sometimes living in a big people's world. Okay. Sometimes they insist. You know, I ask you if the big people are making you crazy. And sometimes they make us crazy because of what they want us to do. Okay? He's okay. His brother's got him.
I like it.
I thought you did. Do you like brushing your teeth? Yeah? Nah. Okay. You don't? Okay, you get some help. You have an electric toothbrush.
Me, ew.
Yeah?
Me too.
You do?
Nobody has a gluey one, and I have a Pokemon one.
Whoa, Pokemon toothbrush.
Bumblebee.
A bumblebee? Whoa, cool.
Like dinosaurs.
Okay. So, some of you have fancy toothbrushes. What if you didn't have a toothbrush at all?
Then you won't be able to get the germs out of you.
No. And if you don't have toothpaste, okay, then you won't be able to brush your teeth. We don't think about it too much, but there are people around us that they don't have things that we take for granted, like a toothbrush, like toothpaste.
That's why we have all of these.
That's why we have these. Now, I'm going to be bad because I'm going to unpack one of these bags. Okay? A washcloth. What would you do if you didn't have a washcloth? A pair of clean socks. No. Or yourself.
Yeah.
A hat. Okay. No, some people don't. And when it's cold, a hat really helps keep warm. Soap. That's not medicine, that's soap. Okay. Toothbrush, toothpaste, uh-huh, and dental floss. Do you floss your teeth?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Shampoo. Some people don't have shampoo. Okay. Shampoo. Different kinds of shampoo. Because some people have a hard time getting shampoo.
No.
Deodorant. You guys are a little young to use deodorant.
I'm not.
You're not? You use deodorant?
Yeah.
Okay. But, and a comb. Okay. And soap, gel soap. Okay. Now, it's hard to imagine, but this little bag with those things in it can make a person's life better. And what we're going to do is we're going to do two things. We're going to ask the big people, and you can remind them, okay, to take the list that's in the bulletin home with them. And if they have any of those things, bring them here to the church. And people here. Hello. Did I ever mention to you I'm technologically challenged? Okay. So, anyway, it's important to remember that little things can help other people and help them feel good. You like to be happy? Yeah. And sometimes little things like this can help a person be very happy. What we try to do, because we're people who follow Jesus, is we try to do those things that make life better. And sometimes it's little things like this that makes a person's life better. Okay? Let's pray. Blessed Jesus, hear our prayer. We're so blessed in so many ways. Help us, O Lord, to remember to bless others the way you've blessed us. Hear our prayer. Amen. Mr. Kim has treats. See Mr. Kim. And it's time to take the offering. Thank you. Oh Lord, it seems only right to thank you. We are so blessed. The fields remind us, oh Lord, our neighbors are moving through the fields, bringing in the fruit of their labor. Oh Lord, and we're blessed in more ways than we can count. From our blessings, O Lord, take our gifts. Use them, O Lord, for the glory of the kingdom of God and to bless the lives of others. Hear our prayer. Amen. The theme this morning is joy. Let us sing joyously. Thank you. Beautifully sung. You may be seated. The scripture for this morning is taken from the Gospel according to John. Be reading from chapter 15. I encourage you to read the whole of the chapter. It describes Jesus' relationship with us, our relationship with Him, how God works, how the world has problems with us simply because we are believers, and it describes how the Holy Spirit works. And Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who will abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you might bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. We don't talk about joy too terribly much. We don't even talk about happiness. You know, Thomas Jefferson described humanity's inalienable rights as life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. 247 years after Jefferson penned the Declaration of Independence of the United States, today we're still in pursuit of happiness, and most of us don't find it. Often our pursuit is an anguished, hungry, headlong rush for something that perpetually eludes us. Worse, what we do chasing happiness does us and each other harm and leaves us even more dissatisfied and desperate for happiness than ever. I can remember the day I wanted to choke my therapist. No, but this day in particular. He said, Mike, what would it take for you to be happy? What would it take for you to be happy? Now, we're not talking joy here. We're just talking happiness. What would it take for you to be happy? Now, I can't say what I said to my therapist in church. Okay. Because I wasn't happy that he asked me the question. And you know the reason why? Because the best answer I could come up with was, I would do everything that I'm doing right now, except I would allow myself to be happy doing it. Thank you. In our culture, we tend to live based on the assumption that happiness, joy, is something external, something that comes from outside in. We assume that happiness is something we can own or achieve that isn't within our reach just now. Media of all kinds encourage those kinds of assumptions about happiness. People living based on those assumptions are wonderful for business. You can buy happiness. You want to be happy? Wear Nikes. You want to be happy? Shop Kroger. Okay. You want to be happy? Drive a Ford, Chevrolet. Okay. At one time, Chrysler, I can't even say the name of the company now. Mercedes-Benz. Tesla. Oh, yes. Tesla. You want to be happy. Okay. As children and adults watch, okay, listen, surf, they are educated to believe that if they eat a certain cereal for breakfast, then they'll be happy. If they wear a certain brand of shoes, jackets, pants, and so on, then they will be happy. If they own a particular brand of toy, then they will be happy. As we older folk watch and listen, we are educated to believe that if we drink a certain beer, we will be happy. Except unless you drink Bud Light. Did I say that out loud? If we wear a certain brand of watch, we will be happy. If we take a certain kind of pharmaceutical medication, we will not only be well, we will be happy. Okay? Of course, you have to ignore all the warnings about the side effects. When we're adults, media educate us that ever more expensive things can make us ever more happy. Did you ever notice that? You get happy the higher the price is on something. However, are we genuinely happy as a result of all this? Mostly, we're constantly trying something else, something different, something new in our pursuit of happiness. Jobs, cars, boats, houses, relationships, spouses, alcohol, drugs, sex, whatever we can think up, whatever happens to show up in our lives, we grab on in our efforts to be happy. However, happiness isn't something out there somewhere to be caught. Happiness isn't something that can be owned or achieved. The gospel, according to John, chapter 15, verses 1 through 11, concentrates on somehow going beyond happiness to joy. In Jesus' lifetime, the vine, usually when Jesus said vine, he meant grapevine, okay, was the central symbol of the source of life. Bread and wine were the staples in everyone's diet. Nobody could afford more than bread. You drank wine because if you drank the water, you'd end up sick or dead. Jesus, in this passage of John, identifies himself with the source of life from whom all good comes. God is the husbandman gardener. You look at the different translations of the text, you'll see that the translators have difficulty translating it. Okay? because in our culture, we don't have the equivalent of vine dressers in everyday life. God is the husbandman gardener who nurtures the vine and the branches so that there will be fruit. This isn't about earning our way into the kingdom of God. Okay? It's about the natural progression that happens when someone plants. How do you know you got a good apple tree? The apples. How do you know you got a good cornfield? When I was a kid, a good cornfield did 50 bushels an acre. Now it's 100 and a half, is right, Richard. If you don't do 100 and a half, it's not a good cornfield. Something similar happens with beans. The process of nurturing includes pruning. Okay? Now, in our context, it's controlling the weeds, doing the fertilizer. Pruning is about cutting out, getting rid of the stuff that gets in the way of bearing better fruit than if let alone and unpruned. I haven't been able to prune our apple and pear trees in 5 years. It shows. The fruit's gotten smaller every year. Now, Jesus establishes the vital connection between himself and us. Jesus is the connection of root, trunk, and branches. See, one of the things about us moderns is we don't have good pictures of how the spiritual works. When was the last time you were in a vineyard? Okay, and being in the restaurant and the cafe don't count. Okay, when was the last time you were in a vineyard? How can I make a vineyard real to you? But see, in Jesus' day, people walk through vineyards every day. They saw the vine dresser going from plant to plant. They saw what the process was. They knew the results. Sometimes with joy. Okay? Without the root and the trunk, the branches are without life support. No fruit, nothing can happen. This is how vital Jesus was saying our relationship with God is. If God isn't here and here, there's no life. If God isn't here and here, there's no fruit. Okay? In those days, all right, the connection went on to, if there's no fruit, there's no party. There's no feast. There's no wedding. There's no celebration of births. There's no wine. No fruit, nothing can happen. Now, we're talking about a reciprocal relationship. It's one that goes both ways. The branches need the roots and the trunk. The roots and the trunk need the branches with their leaves and their fruit for the vine to make future generations. Let us talk about photosynthesis. Why are you not jumping with excitement? Been there, done that? Got the t-shirt and the cap? The relationship goes both ways. One feeds the other. What is all this symbol and metaphor about? It's about love and how love works. It is not about love as a feeling. It's about love as a way of being. It's about love becoming what orders and moves our lives. Love is not static. Love is not a thing. A thing can be owned, a thing can be achieved. Love is neither of those. Love is a living process, a vital connection to the trunk, the vine, Jesus, and the root, who is God. Love is about nurturing. It's about pruning. It's about getting beyond ourselves to bear fruit. Love is a progression. Okay? The word for the day is epigenetic. I had to learn that word when I did my dissertation. It means one step at a time. One thing has to happen before the next thing can happen. Love goes one step at a time. Can't leave out steps. Somebody insists on leaving out steps, it's not going to be love. Love usually means we get past ourselves, giving of ourselves in meaningful ways to make the other people's lives better. Now, I'm going to mess it all up. It is not love to do for another what the other can do for him or herself. Those of you that came to the love workshop have heard that before. It is not love to do for another what the other can do for him or herself. It's not love, it's addiction, it's codependency. When we love, then we begin to bear fruit. We begin to know happiness. Our joy becomes full. Think about the last time you remember you were happy. And think about how it happened. Was it literally one of those, "Oh my God, I'm happy" moments? Think about it. We bear fruit not because we went around madly trying to produce fruit. Rather, we bear fruit because we made it a vital connection. We made a vital connection to the vine and to the root. Only that connection can guarantee that there will be more than enough of everything fruit to go around for everybody. When I was young, like the children, I sat under a person's ministry, and I knew that every time the preacher looked at that text that says, "Give and it will be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing," that I needed to protect my money. I didn't have much. My ma would only give me maybe a quarter or 50 cents. But I knew I had to protect my money. Because that's what the preacher was after when he was preaching on that verse. Okay? That's not what Jesus meant. That's not what Jesus intended. Okay? What Jesus meant was, when we give, when we bear fruit, we're doing exactly what God intended from the beginning. A tree doesn't bear fruit for itself. It bears fruit for the next generation. Amen? Thank you. Our closing hymn for this morning. No. We have to do the closing hymn. Then, okay, before we do the benediction, we'll do the announcements.
Cool beans.
Okay? Now, if you're happy, there's going to be a melody in your heart. Okay, so let's join together, all right? 380.
Yeah.
Now, you may be seated, because we're going to do announcements. Go.
Hello.
Next Sunday. Okay.
We're good.
After church for coffee hour. My family is hosting coffee hour next Sunday. We're going to have a huge taco bar and desserts. So please eat lightly before church and come and eat a lot of taco stuff. Okay?
Amen. Taco brunch.
Diana, tell them why we're having this.
Well, they're going to find out.
Well, we're celebrating a birthday. I have a couple. I'm sorry. First of all, along with the blessing bags, which this is Generosity Sunday, we will also be including a $10 gift card to a restaurant, so those that get the bag will be able to have some food. And that will go along with the blessing bag. Also, I wanted to let everyone know all the generosity of the person that gave us school supplies. We were able to give a little over 50 children. Most of them had filled backpacks, but their school supplies, plus one teacher. It's her first year. She's a kindergarten teacher who got school supplies, and also school supply for the students and for her, because she's a single parent and it's her first year. So we were able to give her supplies to help her financially. And the last is, I'm representing the trustee chair, not mentioning his name. But he wanted me to remind the trustees and anyone that would like to help us on September 28th at 10 o'clock, we're going to thoroughly clean the kitchen. We will be having an inspection in October. We got our harvest dinner coming up and all kinds of cool activities. So if you can come and help, that would be awesome. Thank you.
Okay. Yes, thank you.
I'd like to give an update on Crystal's mom. She had her aneurysm surgery last Monday. She came through it very well for an 88-year-old lady. She's still in a lot of pain. They did move her out of the ICU unit, yesterday? And so she's in a private room, but she'll probably be in there for 7 to 10 days. And then after that, she'll probably be going to rehab. And so she still has a couple of month recovery, so she will need continued prayers for a speedy recovery. Second, the guys have come through for the choir. Where are the women?
Uh-oh.
Look, if you don't want to wear a robe, you don't have to. If you don't want to sit up here through the whole service, you don't have to. You can sit out there, come up and sing, go back and sit down. All I ask is just come a little early and go through whatever hymn we're going to do that Sunday once or twice, and we're good to go. I would like every seat up here filled so we can glorify God. So if you can sing a melody, come and join us. Thanks.
We have 21 chairs.
21 chairs. I just wanted to say that there are quite a few activities happening during Fall Fest this coming weekend that I know myself and a lot of the other teachers are volunteering our time for our kids to raise some money. There is going to be a free throw contest. So if you have grandkids or kids, that is going to support the basketball program up at the schools. They're doing a free throw contest. There's a bunch of prizes and stuff. The basketball team is doing, and it is totally, you could walk up and register. We're also doing a dunk tank for the wrestling team, and I myself I've been called a dunkee. I don't know what that means. I'm concerned. So I signed up with the principal at the high school. I think I think it's during, it's right around the time for church next week. My kids are thrilled. They cannot wait to throw a ball and put me in a bucket of water. So they are very excited. But we have a ton of, that will go to the wrestling team and the clubs and organizations. So please make sure if you step out of the festival, look for the stuff that the kids are being, are having sponsored, because a lot of the teachers are donating their time and their dignity to raise money for the children.
You would have to make me walk the long way around, Rick.
Good for you, fellas.
For those of you who don't know me, you can ask around. People are more than willing to talk about me. My sister, my youngest sister, I guess I'll have to date myself, won't I? She's 66 years old, and she called me this morning. We were talking, and all of a sudden she says, well, I was going to call you Tuesday after the surgery was over, but I got major surgery tomorrow morning. And I thought, well, thanks for letting me know. It's a female surgery. I don't ask questions. I wouldn't understand anyway. So that's all I can tell you. Teresa Vaughn and her husband, Dwayne, insisted that she call this morning and tell me. For anyone in our family to have major surgery is a very rare event. We're quite genetically sound, and we don't get sick or nothing like that. I've only ever been a minor surgery once in my life. And I empathize with people that go through a lot of surgeries and have trouble and have medical issues that they have to tend to. I empathize greatly with you. Wish you all the best. I'd like some prayers for my sister. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
Any other joys or concerns?
Announcements?
Okay. Announcements?
There will be coffee and goodies. They're all ready.
Let us join together in the benediction. Jesus, our Lord, the great shepherd of our souls,
so strengthen us and assist our troubled hearts with the mighty comfort of the Holy Spirit, that neither troublesome people or worldly tribulations may have the power to drive from us the hope and expectation of God's blessed kingdom.
Amen.
Amen. Please rise.
Amen.
So good to have the choir back.
Yeah.
Be blessed, y'all.